Good morning. My name is Tad Endo. I'm one of the elders here, and it is a privilege for me to be speaking in front of you. Pastor Jack gives us this privilege to some of us once or twice a year so that he can go on vacation. No, but he gives us the pleasure of us to share this with you. Today, as Chris just mentioned and gave us a gift, today's a Father's Day. Since, I don't know if you remember, about a month ago, Elder David Howe, he gave a history of Mother's Day. So I looked it up, what the Father's Day, because I had no idea how the Father's Day started. And I always thought the Father's Day was the afterthought of Mother's Day. Kind of that. And then the conspiracy by the retailers to sell more goods. When I was in college, I worked in a restaurant, and I remember the Mother's Day was the busiest. We did like 3 or 4 times more than the normal weekend. So all the waitresses were happy, not as quick was not because we were busy. But the Father's Day, not so much, just another weekend. It's just the way it was. So the David Howe explained the Mother's Day was started by the inspiration by a lady named Anna Jarvis in Fairmont, Virginia in 1868, honoring her mother. 39 years later, in 1907, the first Father's Day was celebrated. Because the nearby Fairmont, there was a mining accident that killed about 350 people. Out of that, 250 of them are fathers. Since then, there were several attempts to make the Father's Day permanent, but none of them were successful. It took almost 60 years, in 1966, since the first Father's Day celebration, and almost 100 years since the first Mother's Day, President Lyndon Johnson, some of you still may remember him, he made a presidential proclamation. And then 6 years later, Richard Nixon signed it into law. So that was 1972. So that's, you know, quite a long time after Mother's Day. That's why I'm saying, you know, Father's Day is always an afterthought. The retail industry got excited, of course. They always get excited with whatever the reason to sell goods, right? So the greeting cards company and the retailers, traditionally Father's Day gift, such as electronics and tools, ladies, daughters and sons. Best Buy and Home Depot opened this afternoon, so you can still go there. Or a box of candies, cookies. Don't bother your father this afternoon or this evening while he's watching a basketball game. That'll be Father's Day gift. The word father wasn't exactly my favorite word for a long time. When I was around 10 years old, one day my father was going to the store, and my mother asked him to take me with him. Probably she just wanted to get rid of me out of the house. So my father didn't look thrilled about that either. While we were walking to the store, that's about 10, 15 minutes walk, side by side, my father was very quiet and not talking. Perhaps he had something in mind, perhaps thinking about his business or whatever it is. It was just quiet, not talking, right? So I felt very, very awkward that moment. Even if I wanted to talk to him, I didn't know what to talk. See, I was 10 years old, he was 46. So it's like, what do I talk to him? Because he's not talking. I felt distance from him. And I was thinking, maybe when I grow up, maybe when I get adult, I can talk to him. Maybe I'll have some conversation with him. Unfortunately, that never materialized because a year later, my father passed away. So the word father was something that I kind of avoided with my sisters and myself. Really didn't use that word. We didn't get to that conversation. We kind of stayed out of it. It was sort of like a coping mechanism that, you know, if you don't talk about it, you don't feel like you're missing it. Even when I got married, I told my wife that, you know, I'm kind of scared to have my own children because I have not seen my father do what he does with the family because I have no experience with it. So I was kind of scared about it. But praise God, the past 29 years that I've been here, I've been able to use the word Father. It's the Heavenly Father. So today we'll talk about not the Father's Day gift, but the Father's gift. Let's pray before we start. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you that you are our Father. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we can study the Word this morning to have a clear understanding of your gift to all of us. Thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we talk about Father, earthly Father, what do you think of him? Some of the attributes are breadwinner, backbone of the family, strength, or father might give you a fear when he scolds you, decision maker, driver slash chauffeur, Mr. Fix in the house, to name a few. Although some of these things have changed, the time has changed, and many women are the breadwinners in the family, backbone of the family, decision makers, and so forth. Here's a quote from Charles Wadsworth, I think, the famous piano player who played in many White House receptions in front of many presidents. He said, "By the time a man realizes that maybe his father was right, he usually has a son who thinks he's wrong." And many fathers understand exactly what he means. And there's another guy, Tim Russert. He was NBC correspondent who died several years ago. But he said in his book, "The older I get, the smarter my father seems to get." We just don't think the way the fathers do until we have our own children. We realize it's such a tough job. The other hand, talk about the Heavenly Father. Attributes are creator of heaven and earth, provider, protector, almighty, loving, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, merciful. A lot of, these are just a part of it, and Chris and Tamai were singing a lot of songs, depict those this morning. So let's read the passage from today's passage. It's Luke 11, 9 to 13. This is NIV, but can we read together? Luke 11, 9 to 13. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So it says, ask and it will be given to you. You ask and it will be given to you. Perhaps it may or may not the outcome you want, but you'll get an answer. Seek and you will find. You seek an answer, you get it. Again, it may or may not be the way you want it, but according to God, you get it. Knock and the door will be open. You're looking for an answer or wait to do things. The door will be open to you according to God's will. If your son asks for a fish, do you give him a snake instead? Do you? Of course not. Perhaps an unagi barbecue eel or something, but not a snake for sure. If he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Of course not. Perhaps 1,000-year-old rotten egg called pedan, but it's deliciously edible. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father gives? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us? That we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Children of God, what a privilege to be called his children. Since we are his children, Father provides, protects, nurtures, teaches, disciplines, all the things we need. Looking for an answer, he will show you the way to your answer. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Ask God for what you think you need. Yes, God will give you answer, his answer, or what he knows that you need. God the Father loves you so much, he will provide you with what you need. It says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. He knows even before you ask. God the Father, the creator of the universe, he created all of us. And he knows us, he knows our need, he knows what's best for us. Again, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. But the love doesn't mean you get gift that you want, but hardship, challenges, difficulties, and discipline as well. Hebrews 12:7-12, let's read it together. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father who was spiritual and life? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Again, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Here are top six of Father's gift to us. Number one is the fellowship. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. We are made to fellowship with one another, talk, communicate, spend time together, appreciate each other's company. We are made to fellowship with the Father through Jesus Christ. This morning we are here with sharing the space and the time to gather fellowshipping one another. Number two is ability. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7. I wish that all men were as I am, but each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Romans 12, verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. We are all children of God, but individually different in character and ability as it's given to us by God. Some may be good teaching, leading others, serving, handy in making things, communicating with others, have great smile that make people around them smile, or musical talent like the worship team so that we can all enjoy in singing together. It's all a gift from God. Number three is teaching. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We have this Bible, this one, to guide our life and life's questions. It teaches us how to handle situations or circumstances and how to look to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for answers. All the things we learn about God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, all those things come from the scripture. Only by studying God's word, we will understand how deep the Father's love to us. Studying a scripture, of course, you can go home and say, okay, I read this from front to back. You can do that, but really understand, or to do that by yourself, it's not easy. So all of us has to be studying together with others. Sunday service is one. Sunday school is another. Small group or fellowship. Or there's a group called Bible Study Fellowship. It's called BSF. Many of our church members actually attend. There are about over 15 women, ladies attend on a women's group, and about a half dozen men attend the men's group. And all those classes are designed for you to get into the word deeper. So take an opportunity and grab those things and do that. Enough for the plug-in for the BSF. Okay, better move on. Number four is a help. Psalm 121, 1 to 2. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Creator Father knows what we need. He knows even before we ask. We can live with confidence He will help us no matter what the circumstance is. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. No matter what you are going through, trouble with life, work, relationship, you can ask God for help. How? Through prayer. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. God is always there. He promised He will never leave you, never forsake you. What a comfort and assurance knowing God is always there. Number five, eternal life. John 3:16, a famous verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Romans 6:22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. We have eternal life waiting for us. The worldly life is only temporary, and we are here prepared to go to see Him in heaven. What a wonderful prospect we Christians have. We have eternal life. We believe in Him. The sixth one is a reward. Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. Revelation 22:12, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. And John 14:2-3, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. We have a confirmed reservation in the room Jesus has prepared and reserved for us in heaven. It cannot be canceled due to a computer malfunction or operator error or anything like that. It is reserved. What a comfort. We just read John 3:16, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And from Romans 6:22, it says the gift of God is eternal life. Aren't you excited about the prospect of going to heaven and be with the Father? We are children of God, and the way to our Father is through Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but eternal life. For those of you, in case here this morning, who yet do not believe Jesus, I urge you, please talk to our church member, Pastor Jack, or any of the leaders so that you will become truly children of God. So here's the Father's gift. Number one is a fellowship. Two is ability. Three is teaching. Four, a help. Five, eternal life. Six, and reward. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. In Galatians 4:4-7, but when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. I want to show a picture of father and son. When I was walking with my father, I was much older than this little kid here. But imagine yourself, you're walking with that father. Father is a protector. He may walk a couple of steps from you. He may look like he's not watching you. But before the vast ocean in front of you, the father is with you, watching you and protecting you and guiding your life because he loves you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being our Father. Thank you that we can call you Abba Father. Thank you for your protection, guiding our lives, provision, discipline, and most of all, thank you for your love. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross so that our sins are forgiven. We have eternal life through your son Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Amen.